Now, on the other side of the graphic there, the insiders, you know, those are not just your employees, but vendors, right? Software vendors, services vendors that you are using to provide any number of things. And if they have access into your systems, or if they manage a system for you on your behalf, I consider them insiders because they've got a special level of access to systems and data. And you need to think about that. And one of the things I see organizations starting to do now is think about insider threat and an insider threat program to really walk through what kind of insiders we have, right? So you have system administrators, obviously that's one kind. Another kind might be critical vendors in your supply chain that have access into either your system or a third-party system that you rely on that, again, is going to be key because your data is in that system. And then the other piece of this is the types of individuals that you give access to, that you collaborate with or are guests. So whether that's, you know, subcontractors providing services to you, or, you know, if you have a research institution and you have visiting researchers or collaborators that you give access to your systems, they're now insiders. And so you need to think about them and what motivations they might have for stealing your data or for potentially causing your organization harm. And then finally, right in the middle is the you know, 9,000-pound gorilla, as they say, is nation state. So Russia and China primarily as the big ones that, you know, they're out there to steal data and information that they can turn into weapons, turn into intellectual property, you know, take information and research that's happening and turn it into a commercial product that they can sell. So obviously in the last couple of years, there's been an increase in nation states looking to try to find any information on COVID vaccines, treatments, anything related to the study, because there's some potential, you know, money, big money to be made in that field. And so these nation states are trying to steal that. You know, there's been reports of China, you know, just stealing data and taking it and just holding on to it for now, not really acting upon it, just trying to gather as much data as they can for use later. And so thinking about what kind of data you have that might be of interest to nation state actors is really important. And especially if you're working with the federal government obviously has a huge supply chain, and you've heard obviously a little bit about that probably in other sessions. And because of that large supply chain, you know, these nation states are going after all aspects, from obviously the agencies of the federal government themselves, all the way down to the mom and pops that are six or seven levels down the supply chain and provide, you know, a single piece or part to an engine that goes into, you know, goes into that engine. That engine goes into, you know, a helicopter, and that helicopter is used on the battlefield. And so all of that is important to understand from a threat perspective. And so those threats can turn into specific risks, right? There are specific reputation, competitive, operational, financial, and regulatory risks that you face. And again, thinking about that, again, is what that means to your organization or business in relation to the government. I mean, the big one is obviously fines and the potential that you would no longer be able to work with the federal government. And so that those two things are really the ultimate. Now, in the meantime, there might be reputation issues. You might have costs associated with any kind of incidents that you have to deal with. But thinking about what your risk tolerance is very important. You are not going to protect everything to the same level because you probably don't have those resources, and that would be very expensive. So you need to take a risk-based approach and think about what are the highest risks, what are the risks that are more likely to occur, and how do we protect those? And so, again, anything you do when working with the federal government should be risk-based. And I'm happy to say that, you know, over the last few years, more and more of what the federal government has been focused on is risk-based, right? Years ago, decades ago, when the FISMA law came out and really told all the federal agencies they've got to meet a minimum standard for security, and those agencies started to say, well, all of our contractors need to do this and stuff, it was very much not risk-based, more of, you know, oh, you got to do this. Now, more and more, the focus is where are the risks? Let's focus on the high-risk things first and foremost. And then as we mature in that area, move through and tackle those lower risk items. So everything the federal government these days is really focused on is data. And so whether it is specific regulations, requirements, or contractual terms, It all goes back to the data, the type of federal data. So real on this slide, it's what we're showing is that there's a huge spectrum. So on one spectrum, all the way to the left, is public information. So that's information that the government has to release to the public anyway, or already does on their websites. So that doesn't have any security requirements because obviously it's public information. And then on the very right side in the red, that is the other realm, which is the classified world. And that obviously has a very long history of specific requirements around secret and top secret type data and information and systems and how you deal with those. And that piece is obviously very mature in what are required of different organizations, how to meet those requirements. And obviously the government comes and checks up on you if you're dealing in that kind of work. But in the majority of cases, it's this vast middle in these two big buckets of non-public information. The first bucket is called federal contract information. So that's any information that is not public, and it is not in this other category of controlled unclassified. And so that could be things like project status reports, that could be invoices, that could be contracts themselves, that could be all sorts of other information that you share between you and the federal government that isn't public, but also doesn't fall into this bucket of controlled unclassified information, or CUI, or CUI, as you might have heard it. And that's really where all the agencies are focused these days, is CUI or CUI. They're all propagating different regulations and requirements if you handle CUI from that agency, or if you create CUI on behalf of that agency.